Welcome to Door Bumper Clear. The show must go on, so we're here with a fresh episode. I'm Jason Schultz, and our new full-time trio of spotters is in the house to discuss coronavirus's impact on NASCAR, the Replacements 100 iRacing race, a questionable tweet from Steve O'Donnell, and a ton of your Ask DBC questions. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of DBC.
I'm PJ Majors.
This is Brent Griffin.
Get ready.
Be ready.
Give me what you got here.
New leader.
Watch out for this guy.
White flag.
Recognize.
Go low. Clear.
Bring home.
Three wide.
Coming to the line.
Door. Bumper. Clear.
Hey, everybody. I am TJ Majors. Spotter of nothing this week, and almost a full studio, missing a little piece.
I guess I'm Brett Griffin in the same boat. I didn't spot anything, and with the word boat, we're actually missing a boat. We're missing Casey Boat.
Yeah.
But we have producer Jason in the house.
What's up? And we have a big announcement, too.
What are you trying to say about Freddie?
Is that a fat joke, Jason?
Yeah. Why so early?
Freddie, I put a challenge out on Twitter that if you got 10,000 followers, you could be on the show. You're at 9,822. Should we just assume you're going to get the other 107 electoral votes, 170 electoral votes?
I think that's a safe assumption. It's been going pretty quick this week.
Yeah. What if we do a challenge?
I'm not doing no more challenges on this show.
Why? Well, if it gets enough retweets.
That belly roll thing was
awesome.
Let's
do it. Let's do a tattoo.
No.
Come
are you
on.
Out of your mind? No chance.
You get like Kalinoff tattoo on the inside of your leg.
Oh, man. So what's up? It's Freddie Kraft. I guess the people have spoken, really. The millions and millions of listeners that have sent in and asked me to be full-time on this deal.
We sent a poll out.
Have won over.
15% of the people didn't even know who you were.
That's the option I voted for.
Everybody that I know voted for that option because they thought it was fun.
I voted for the replace Brett option because I didn't want to. If I was going to be full time, I did not want to deal with your ass.
So you're
all
part
the time.
Of the 3%. Yeah, 3% of the people in my own poll hate me.
I'm pretty sure it was me, Clint, TJ, and Casey that all voted on that way. So that was.
Would you vote, TJ?
I didn't vote.
He sustained.
Yeah,
I was in a bar one time in college my senior year, and one of my best friends, Robbie Outlaw, was an econ major at Clemson.
Hey, his last name's Outlaw.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's kind of cool.
He always came to Columbia because Clemson sucks so bad. He came to Columbia to hang out. So we're in this bar hanging out. It was actually a Have a Nice Day cafe when they first opened.
They don't suck now.
No. So all of these senators and congressmen, you know, obviously we're talking at the state level, after work they would come into the bars, right? So they're in the bar, and Robbie was all caught up in politics. And at 21, I probably didn't really care. He walks over and he's like, "Hey, Mr. Bauer, would you vote on this bill?" He's like, "I sustained." And Robbie's just staring at him. And the guy goes, "Sustain means I didn't vote." The guy goes, "Where I'm from, sustain means you're a
well."
And I was like, "Oh, we're getting ready to get in a fight with all of these freaking politicians? No, we're not going to win this fight."
It's actually abstained.
Abstained.
Just for the record.
I thought he said he sustained.
I mean, sustain is a word, but it's not that word.
Oh, he abstained.
How'd you know that?
I just read it on Google.
He didn't vote, is what he was saying. My guy was like,
I can't believe the guy's last name's Outlaw.
It is.
So when they did like last name, it was like Outlaw Robbie. He's probably like, it's pretty neat.
That kid loved attendance roll call every morning.
Yeah.
Robbie Outlaw? Yeah, it's me.
Dude.
Right here, Outlaw.
That's a pretty awesome name. That is pretty
cool.
That's
hard to beat.
Did he have kids? Did he have any kids?
Yeah, he's got two girls.
Wonder what their names are.
Lily
Outlaw.
Maybe that's what.
What's a cool first name? You got to have a cool first
name. That's what I was thinking.
Maybe Casey needs to incorporate Outlaw into the boat.
That's still a cool name, though. But yeah, so did you take off?
Oh yeah. Let's talk about what happened up until we found out we weren't racing.
You're
going to
be mad.
So I got up at 7 o'clock. I left for the airport at 7:30. I got there at 8:05. I got on the plane at 8:15 after loading my luggage and doing what you do, right?
You early or late?
I'm always early.
Okay.
So I'm there at 8:15. We're going to leave at 9. We probably got loaded a few minutes early. And off we go. Boom, we're going to Atlanta. And we're going to Atlanta to a normal scheduled weekend. We're going to practice on Friday. We're going to have two practices. We're going to be done at 6:30. On Saturday, we're going to qualify. And on Sunday, we're going to race per NASCAR before I took off. As we were landing, we're probably 5 minutes out. And one of the guys on our team gets an email. and it's from like Jay Fabian.
You're not supposed to have your phones on.
It's supposed to be in airplane mode.
Yep.
It was in airplane mode, I think. So anyway.
Literally, it was in airplane mode.
I sustain. I'm going to talk about it.
Sustain.
So anyway, he gets this email, and it's from Jay Fabian, and it says, the garage is closed on Friday.
Yeah.
On Saturday morning, you'll come in at 7 o'clock. You'll qualify at 11. You will race at 2. And he shows me this email, and he's like, this can't be right, can it? And I was like, what doesn't make sense that we were going to race on Sunday, and now we're going to race on Saturday, and that the garage is closed today? Obviously, something has happened. So fast forward, we land. We all just sit there. And it's like, I'm not getting off plane because maybe the plane's going home. And we're hearing that Gibbs has turned around. By now, Freddie's texting me going, hey, we're not even coming. We're sitting on the ground at Statesville. We're not leaving. There's a truck race.
There's a truck race
tonight. I got to figure out how I'm getting there. So long story short, we all sit there. And I'm like, man, if I get off this plane, it means I got to get up in the morning at, 10 early. O'clock, 11 o'clock, and go work.
Oh, if you get off.
Yeah, if I stay on it and it goes back home, I'm going to have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to fly back down here to be here when the garage opens at 7. I was like, man, I'm just going to get off. So Clint's on my plane, right, which is rare. His plane's in the shop's reason why. So he is just, Clint, right? He's about everything.
We just had breakfast, according to you.
Yeah. So we get to the hotel, and I'm standing in line to check in, and Freddie texts me this. He said, O'Donnell just told, who'd he tell? John Hunter.
A driver.
O'Donnell just told a driver that we're not racing, it's canceled. So I look at all my guys standing in the lobby, and I say, hey, y'all might want to hang tight. We may be getting ready to go home. I get my key to my hotel room, and boom, that's when I got the text from my crew chief, Klaus Meyer, saying, come back to the airplane, we're going home. And then obviously, still no official news, which, man, I totally get. They got to get their ducks in a row. The official news came out as we were going down the runway to take off to come back home. So you never left?
I was in the same boat. See what time, many times we can say that today. I was in the same boat as Freddie. We had shut the door. We were getting ready to move. And I mean, they were.
What time is this?
Like 9:30 probably.
Yeah, right around 9:30, and you guys hadn't landed yet. There was planes in the air still.
Yeah, because when I texted you, it didn't go through.
Yeah. So I was like, I texted a couple people, it didn't go through either.
Yeah,
Hendrick plane was in the air because I texted a couple people there.
They landed right in front of us.
Yeah, so they shut it down. One of the crew chiefs stands up and is like, hey, did you get that? Travis, did you see that email? Brings his phone up, looks at it, goes right to the pilots up front. And they were getting ready to release the brakes. We were getting ready to roll, not down the runway, but off from the hangar.
Right.
And then they shut the engine down. We all sat there for maybe 10 minutes. Travis asked us to stay put so they could figure out what was going on, what the plan was going to be. And we ended up sitting there for about 15 minutes. And they decided that this is before, like you said, they said that we weren't racing yet. We were actually going to fly back later that night around 7:45 or something like that to be there for early in the morning. So we all were leaving. There was a few of us that were getting ready to hop in a car and drive down to go do the truck race. So we were getting ready to leave at 11:30 or so. I was going to go home, take some stuff out of my bag, and only take an overnight bag for one night. And we were gonna drive down for the truck race. And it wasn't long after I got home that got the message, next 2 weeks are canceled, or postponed, or however they want to put it. So luckily we didn't take off. We didn't have, would you get a nap?
No.
Oh, you're next to Clint. You don't nap next to Clint.
And listen to me, when he got back, so I call him, I'm like, hey, this thing's getting ready to get canceled. He's like, no, son of a bitch. He's just raising hell. I said, you were the last one on the plane this morning. We literally were sitting there waiting on you. Hurry up and get to the airport because we're ready to go home. And he literally got to the airport same time I did.
Oh, that's good.
And he didn't bring me food.
So I was laughing starving. Because like we said, we all try to take off. Well, then we don't. So then now they're like, all right, truck race is tonight. I'm spotting a truck. TJ spotted a truck. So a couple guys are going to get in the car and go, well, Victory's like, hey, hang on here because we're going to rush the pit crews over here. Get them. As soon as they get here, we're going to send a plane down there. So there was like 7 or 8 spotters there. I'm like, well, hang on. We'll all get on that plane. So that was going to leave at noon to get us down there in time for qualifying in the race. So then it just all hell broke loose. Like,
happened so quick.
So then John Hunter's like, hey, I just got this I got this email from O'Donnell that, the next 2 weeks are postponed. do not let this get on social media. And the next second I opened my phone, it just said a tweet from Clint. Damn it.
I'm like, well, he didn't let the cat out of the bag. He just a little foreshadowing.
I said, well, I see he's still following rules as good as ever. Yeah. But yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what went on to make these decisions. Like, you know, maybe I don't know the circumstances. I know our events are a little bit different than others. We're outside, we're open air. You know, we're not big mass gatherings, I guess. I don't know how they would. I mean, the garage area might
pretty massive.
It's pretty big.
Well, I mean, without fans. Without fans.
Well, here's the thing, man. Like, and let's talk about that for a second. Without fans, without the truck series, without the Xfinity series, with just the officials and just the team personnel, and to some degree, some media, I'm assumed, were already there. I mean, I know Jim Utter was at least in Atlanta. I don't know if he's at the racetrack. Yeah. I would imagine we're 1,000 people.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would say so.
I mean, you got...
There's 20 people on my team.
38 teams or 40 teams or whatever, and you got, what, how many per team? 12?
Officials.
No, more than that. Yeah, it's more than that. More than 12.
There's 12 on the roster, which they did limit.
But
they did limit
you bring in seven pit crew guys.
Yeah.
One PR person per team. I mean, you're still talking...
Say 20.
Just say 20. That's 800 people just in team personnel.
Yeah, you got officials.
Yeah. And here's the thing about the officials, and I'm not saying anything bad about them, but they're coming in from all over the country. Like, if we're all coming in on private planes, and I'm not saying that's any better, because if one of us has got it, we're all in jeopardy. But we're coming in on private planes. They're coming in on commercial planes literally from all over the country. Those guys don't live in Charlotte. They live wherever they want to live.
Yeah.
Like, they're – man, what a terrible position as a country and as a sport to even be
in. And honestly, there's – you know, I was kind of looking forward to going to the race a little bit. I wanted to race.
You wanted to race. I was already there.
I want to race
more than you did.
Atlanta's a great racetrack. I was looking forward to the race, but I get it. You know, it's hard for all sports, man. There's so many moving pieces at one time. I would hate to have to try to coordinate all this. Teams, drivers, crew, like you said, officials. You got data people, media people, TV people. There's so many moving pieces.
I talked with a truck series general manager yesterday for a little while, and it cost him – to go down there and do what they did, which was absolutely nothing, to get to Atlanta, to unload, to check into their hotels, and to turn around and do absolutely nothing and come back home, it cost them $24,000.
Yeah.
And you guys hear that number for that team. Yeah. You hear $24,000. You go, it's not that much money. Yeah, but it cost a lot of teams $24,000. You're talking probably getting close to $1 million by the time you do all three series. Yeah, because the Xfinity series was there, the truck series was there, and a lot of the cup teams went. Man, as an industry, like the way our economics is laid out, those teams can't afford to lose $25,000.
Yeah, I get, you know, I feel bad. And I think, you know, there'll be ways to, I don't know what we can do to help counteract that down the road. But this is just a freak.
It sucks.
Yeah, there's nothing anybody, none of us really kind of ready for this.
I'm going to read you a tweet that Alan Kupavana, whatever his name is, sent out. Great dude.
Yeah, that's the guy you got an argument with.
No, I didn't get an argument. So in NASCAR made
it looked like an argument to me. It looked like an argument to you. It looked like an argument to me.
NASCAR made the decision that we were racing, right? So then Alan tweets out, the responsibility is now on every team, every official, media member, etc. If you feel sick, be honest and stay home. We all owe it to each other. I hate to break it to Alan, but I felt sick for 3 weeks with my sinuses. So how do I know the difference between a sinus infection and, oh, I may have the coronavirus? And I talked to a lot of drivers. I even asked Freddie this. If you woke up on Sunday morning in Atlanta and you felt like you had a cold, were you going to go to the racetrack and do your job? TJ?
Yeah, I mean, at that point.
My point is that this sport, the culture of this sport is not built around people being not going to work because they're sick. I've never missed a race because I was sick. I've spotted a ton of races while I was sick. I mean, deathly sick. Yeah,
I did Darlington throwing up sick that one time.
It's about the decision was made that we're going to race. You got 40 drivers. You got 40 spotters. You got 40 crew chiefs. You know, you got 80 tire changers, whatever those numbers are. You feel a responsibility to your team, to your family, to everybody to show up and do your job. So once the decision is made that we're going to race, my point on this tweet was not that, oh, my God, I think I got coronavirus. I'm going to work anyway. Yeah. It's if I woke up and didn't feel good Sunday morning, I was still going to the racetrack. I didn't have a choice in my mind, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we don't have a lot of excess. People can't just fill in either. I mean, I know that you can put somebody up there. It's going to be
hard. Who's going to substitute spot for Joey Logano if we're already on a skeleton crew down there?
I mean, I'm sitting there thinking about who's going to car chief it. I mean, all these
guys.
Who's
going to spot for Bubba? Who's going to spot for Clint? I don't have another spotter on my team ever spotted another race.
No.
Yeah. I mean, definitely.
You can't imagine the sense of responsibility that we feel on race day mornings when we don't.
Missed races when I was in the hospital.
Right.
That's the only time I missed races.
And to your point, you had days to prepare for that. I mean, we had Jeff Dickerson lined up for days to come in to substitute for you at Richmond and whatever other races you missed. I remember that time.
Yeah.
Same thing when I had kids born. You know, I had there was two weekends where I knew I had to be home to have kids born. I made plans to have another spotter, but guess what? That guy was a real spotter.
Yeah.
And
you planned on it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah,
and the biggest thing is, I feel like you don't know. You don't even know. You could have it for a couple of days in your system, and you don't know it until you get home on Tuesday, and now all of a sudden you're sick, and now you're I put people at risk last week because maybe I had it on Sunday. You know, so I went back and forth at your argument because I think that the both like. I don't think that they got what you were saying. What I mean?
Well, it's Twitter with 100 characters.
Yeah. So, I knew what you were trying to say. Like, not that you were like, I don't give a shit, I'm sick, I'm going anyway. That's not what you were trying to say. It was like, I don't know. What if I wake up the next day? Like, I don't have time to prepare. I don't have time to get this worked out Sunday morning if I feel. I mean, how many times do we wake up on Sunday morning and sinuses or you got a cold or more likely hungover?
I woke up in Darlington that morning with a stomach bug. It ended up being this 24-hour thing, but I did that race, you know, I can say it now, but for Dale Jr. with my head down about three-quarters of the race.
Yeah.
So.
But at any point did you say, man, I'm not doing this?
No.
No.
It never crossed my mind.
That was the point I was trying to make. Jeff Burton texts me separately from Twitter, and he's like, Brett, this is serious. Like, I think you need to take your own sheets and own pillowcases and all this stuff to the hotel. And I'm like, Jeff, I know how serious it is. I'm telling you, once I get on that airplane, I'm there to do a job. And just because I don't feel good, I'm not going to say, hey, guys, I don't feel good.
Knowing.
What do I do now? Like,
knowing right now, though, if this was happening and I didn't feel good, I would probably make more efforts to remove myself with this going on. But on a normal weekend,
it's just hard, though.
Wake up.
We're not normal people.
You don't wake up like on a normal weekend and be like, oh, I don't really feel that great. You're going anyway. I mean, I can say, though, if I woke up Saturday morning or Sunday morning and felt like I wasn't really feeling good.
You just said 10 minutes ago you would have went and did your job.
But that's like I'm saying, if we know there's a national deal going on here. But if you don't feel like that, it'd be hard to – I mean, it'd be hard for you to miss it anyway.
I mean, if I woke up –
you'd have to be pretty bad.
If I woke up and I had every damn symptom that they live, if
that's
I woke
different.
Up with a damn fever and a cough and whatever else, then, yeah, I'm going to try to do everything I can to, one, get tested, which you're going to have to wait anyway for a test anyway.
That's my thing, too. But, how you going to know? Who's going to stand in the garage entrance to go, you got it, you need to go home?
Yeah.
Like, too many variables. Anyway, I didn't want to bog the whole show down about that, but I wasn't trying to be a – I was just trying to say
– And once
again – I was
again.
Just trying to say – it's impossible for 800 people to manage themselves under certain scenarios.
And it goes across the board. It's not just spotters, too. The drivers have driven sick.
They weren't going to wake up Saturday and not feel good and be like, I might have coronavirus, test me. Like,
yeah.
That ain't going to happen. And that goes to the point of when it's all said and done and we're all sitting here, you know, because not racing, like that's probably the right call.
Yeah, I think they made the right call.
And I don't think racing was the wrong call. Just probably not racing is the right call.
I think you want to go back and look, and this is, I think, across all sports. You want to go back and look and say, all right, we probably did too much, rather than go back in a couple weeks and now everybody's sick and you go, well, damn, we probably should have done this. You know what I mean?
So just
do everything you can to stop and hope for the best.
There might be a good outcome to this happening with us. This might give us – down the road here, we might have some. I don't have any idea or anything, but this tells my personal opinion. I think we're going to end up like I saw a tweet doubling up some races, stuff like that. But I also think there's when we go to them places that have two races, like Michigan, stuff like that. That's a great idea. I think we might get some weekday races coming up.
Before we get into spot on, spot off, let's hear some more about our presenting sponsor, OfferPad.
What is OfferPad? Well, put simply, we're your online home buyer. OfferPad is the modern home selling solution with a personalized human touch that lets you skip all the traditional headaches. We buy your home from you so you can move forward the moment you're ready. We've had the pleasure of helping thousands of happy home sellers, and we'd love to help you. Getting started is easy. Go to OfferPad.com, enter basic information about your home, and the next day, we'll send you a great offer. It's free and there's no obligation. Why is OfferPad the better way? Because we give you what traditional selling can't: certainty and control. Selling to OfferPad means no showings, you pick your closing day, and we'll even move you locally for free. We have a 94% satisfaction score and a A+ BBB rating for a reason. It truly is a better way. So, start thinking about where you want to live next. Get excited about making that move. With OfferPad, you're sold. Go to OfferPad.com and request your free purchase offer today. OfferPad, move free. Really.
Spot on,
you like it, spot off, you don't like it, and you say why either way.
CDC recommends in-person events with 50 or more people be postponed for 8 weeks. Spot on, spot off, TJ.
Spot on. I mean, safety first right now. I think you know, everybody just needs to take the extra precaution and be safe. And if that's what they're recommending, we don't need to. If we can prevent it, you know, is bad. If we can do a lot of prevention here, I think it'd just be better for the whole country. And the quicker we do this, the quicker we'll be back racing.
Brett.
I'm spot off, man. I think 8 weeks is a long time. I think a lot can change in 8 weeks. I like the way NASCAR did it for 2 weeks to start with. And I mean, when you look at scheduling, TJ and I were just talking about this a little bit ago. Man, the more races we have to make up, the harder this gets. And listen, we're a different sport, man. Our sponsors have contracts in place where they have X amount of races they get to run. And when we miss races entirely, we put teams in jeopardy. So from a contractual standpoint, from a creative standpoint, it's going to be interesting to see how these races get made up. But, man, I like the two-week-at-a-time approach right now, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, spot off for the amount of time, obviously. It puts a lot of strain on a lot of people in our industry that maybe independent contractors and counting on a paycheck every week. But like you said, I think I saw where IMS, Indianapolis Motor Speedway, had announced today that, like, I mean, this is a recommendation. This is not a law. Yeah. This is a recommendation for 8 weeks. So there's nothing binding that they say that we have to be out for 8 weeks. They, you know, the guys at IMS said they're going to do everything they can to have the Indy 500 on time, you know, have the Grand Prix, the road course race the week before. So that's inside that 8 week period, I think, or right there on the line. So, I mean, obviously I think you got to go case by case basis. And like you said, the more we can cut this down, the easier it is to make it up.
Yeah, man, Vegas is shutting down casinos. The MGM Mirage, they're shutting down full blown casinos, I'm told.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at, this puts so many people out of work. The economic downfall of this is unbelievable. Like, when you say we're not racing, like, that sounds so simple. But in reality, it means Freddie's not spotting. It means that the Fan Vision guys aren't selling Fan Visions. The hot dog people aren't selling hot dogs. You know, Goodyear tires aren't being worn out, being driven down to the racetrack on these tractor trailers. Like, the fallout of this is gigantic. And when you start talking about people going 2 weeks without pay, man, hopefully they got a little bit saved. You start talking about 2 months without pay? Holy cow, man, that's scary.
I'll tell you something else that, like, a lot of people, and obviously you think, yeah, I already, you know, we make pretty decent living. But, like, a lot of us, I know me and you are, I'm not sure about TJ, we're 1099 contract laborers. We've got a damn, I don't know what's going to happen with the tax deadline, but in a month, we're looking at probably a six-figure tax bill coming. You know what I mean? So obviously you got money saved up for that.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I got money saved up for that, plus being out of work for another 2 months.
You're paying six figures in taxes, you're making a lot more money than I am.
That's exactly what I was
five
saying.
Figures, five figures. But
DJ's, I mean, like,
hey, damn, man, I work hard. That's all them races I do at New Smyrna.
That's what I was just thinking, too.
Damn. Freddy was knocking out a half mil on us over here.
So a five-figure tax bill coming, five-figure tax bill.
Damn.
But, like, you know,
I was proud of you.
Yeah, you and Lloyd.
Anyway, off.
No, you're right. It's scary. It's scary times. You can't find toilet paper. You can't find chicken breast. Herm, a buddy of ours that spots for a butcher now, he sends me a picture of chicken breast. Of all the things that I thought my friends would be sending me at 44 years old, it was not a picture of a pack of raw chicken breasts.
I've probably sent you a breast or two, but I don't think it had anything to do with chicken.
Here we go. I'm spot on for all the athletes and owners and stuff putting up money to cover these people that work at the arenas that are getting shut down and stuff for a while. You know, I think that's really cool. And
even Amy Earnhardt looking to do stuff to help the elderly. Like, I look to, you know, high-profile people in these situations can be great leaders, and it's great to see them do that.
Maybe we can get the guy that dropped out of the presidential race to chip in since he wanted to.
Bloomberg.
He spent $500 million. Or what was it?
Yeah, $500 million.
Yeah, if he spent $500 million on an election that he already dropped out of, he can maybe help some.
And also help pay Freddie's taxes.
Yeah, no.
I don't think Freddie, why don't you help some?
I'll tell you who started that deal, and I think it was right, like immediately, was Mark Cuban. Like the second they announced they were suspending the season, he did an interview on court, and he's like, I'm worried about my people here. You know, we got to put some program in place to where I can take care of my vendors, take care of my ushers, whatever. So I think he's got the ball rolling, and then everybody just kind of, I mean, the next one was Zion Williamson, I think, offered to pay for everybody in the state, you know, arena there. So, I mean, it's just awesome.
It's going to happen across the board, but it's good to see people step up. And that, honestly, that was one of my favorite things to read on Twitter the last couple of days, is just people stepping up, being like, hey, this is a time of need. It's time to give back a little bit. And they can afford to do it. So it's good to see. I think I'm looking forward to, you know, that and more people doing it as well. Right. And you doing it.
Yeah, I'll step my game up.
Spot on, spot off. TJ blocks everyone in the Replacements 100 iRacing race that featured numerous NASCAR industry members. Freddie?
What a I mean,
did you even watch it?
Yeah.
What did you see wrong?
The same thing that the 1,200 people that like my tweet saw.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I didn't say anything was wrong with it.
Let me explain this before you get into it.
I did not say anything was wrong with it. But go ahead.
I come off turn two, and I qualified like fifth, and I come off turn two and like third or fourth or something, and I watch the guy leading the race run the bottom line off the corner and then drift up a little bit, and one guy swerved from the wall down to the – I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is like way crazier than I thought it was going to be.
You did not have the worst block of the race. That block that Josh threw on Byron coming down the back straightaway, I don't know how he didn't get wrecked. But it was just funny. Like, it was a restart. I was like – it was early in the race. It was a restart, and I think you were third and maybe Byron was fifth. And I just saw him dive, like, peek out to the bottom a little bit, and TJ blocked him, and I was like, this son of a still blocking.
Yeah, you don't want to go into turn – you know, you're going to turn three at Atlanta. You don't want somebody getting inside you before you get there. So you'll tell – I mean, I don't know if you tell Clint. Like, if a guy's coming and he doesn't have a big run, but it's probably enough to, like, get a note – just to be annoying, right?
Yeah.
So you're like, no, I'm just going to take it away a little bit. And that's all you really do. And I watched the broadcast and was like, oh, TJ blocks it. I'm like, dude, all I did was go like this. Just the littlest bit. I'm like, yeah, I just want to do a show the guy. Like, look, I'm going to the bottom. You're not getting it.
I just thought it was funny.
But, dude, William and Josh were.
Oh, did you see that one? That was on Twitter.
I saw the William Josh one. Yeah,
that was God, bad. If I turn the wheel that hard, I wreck.
So why didn't Josh get wrecked when he made that block? It picks them up like they're drafting?
If he hit them square. Oh, they'll wreck. Oh, if they hit. They cross a little bit, they'll wreck. Yeah. Like, it's if I would have hung the wheel left like that, I would have wrecked into the inside wall myself. Like, Josh and William run a ton of races every week.
So I'm going to ask a stupid question. Y'all all ran the same setup?
Yeah, it's fixed setup.
Okay.
Should we talk about this at all?
Go ahead. People are interested. Well,
I don't know anything about it. So
we get home Friday, and I'm sitting there getting ready to feed my little girls lunch, and I'm like, man, we ain't got any racing this weekend. What are we all going to do? And I'm sitting there, I'm like, why don't we just get a bunch of people together that want to run it? You know, I know enough people in the industry that race, so let's just call them, see if they want to get together and run one. And I know the guys that do the broadcast, which was the podium guys, me and Coleman Presley actually raced in a league they had last year, and they did a great job, like short track league. We ran street stocks at a short track, and it was really good. So I called them, and I'm like, hey, if I put a race together, can you guys broadcast it just for something to do? And they're like, well, let me check. I think we can, though. So I'm like, all right, well, I'll start getting a list of drivers together. And also, you know Boris from JGR?
Yep.
He texted me.
Social
like,
media, yeah.
Yeah, right after I started thinking about it, he's like, hey, man, I was thinking about maybe we could put together a race.
His name's actually not Boris.
No,
we call
him
Boris
like
because
Boris.
He's got curly hair like Boris.
Like Boris said, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, well, I had the same idea. Let's think about it a little bit. He's like, I might be able to get some of our guys to do it. I get my little girl down for a nap, and I call him back, and right before I call him, Kevin Hamlin texts me. He's like, hey, we should put a race on. Yeah, we should do something. So we got three of us with, like, the same idea. So I call the broadcast people. They're in. I call Steve Myers at iRacing. He's like, yeah, do it. We're not doing anything this weekend. It's too quick of a notice for us to put on an official race. So I'm just going to get together a list of people. And so I start texting all the people that I know that would, you know, in the industry that would race. Next thing you know, we've got 35 guys ready to go, drivers, crew chiefs.
How many can you race?
However many pit stalls there are at Atlanta. But I thought I was going to have a hard time filling 25 people. Next thing you know, I'm texting people and, you know, people are, hey, this is so-and-so from this management group. I'd like to get our driver in there doing it. I'm like, holy cow. My phone went off constantly all day after that. As soon as we announced it, Saturday, big time. So we filled the field and, you know, had Dale Jr. committed to running it. William, Bowman, Bubba was in there.
Is Dale Jr. rusty?
No, he's good.
I know, but is he rusty? Because
he's still good. He just got caught up in a wreck. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I saw he didn't have a good finish. I was like, man, he must be, because he used to be the man on there, right?
No, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he came in the back.
He's not quite as good as what I am. But
if you had won,
let me ask you this: was there some kind of had to be some kind of reset, like?
So I gave everybody, because I had people like, I text Canales, I'm like, Chad, you want to run this? Because he runs on iRacing a little bit. I'm like, I might as well invite him. So Chad's like, yeah, I'll run. Why not? Fix setup. So I worked on a setup on Saturday and tried to send it out to as many of the guys as I could so they could go run some laps in it. And just like Atlanta in real life, there's a lot of fallout.
So you set the cars up.
We wanted to make a setup. I had a whole bunch of guys in there working on it. That, like, oh, I think it's a little loose. Well, I think it's a little tight. Trying to find a happy medium because everybody drives different. So we got a good setup. And
so you set it up and you still didn't win. It was your setup.
It wasn't my setup. It was one actually, Nick Ottinger, one of the Pro Series drivers on iRacing, helped us out with it a little bit. We pretty much just ran it. But like, I wanted to give them guys some track time, like Chad and them guys. But it was good to see all them people show up, man. I mean, I think.
I saw Bowman said he sucked at it.
Yeah, he did. He didn't have a good race.
Does he not run this stuff normally?
He runs dirt stuff mainly. But we had, I think once it started kicking off, and I thought we might get a couple thousand people to watch it. But even like right before the race, the max was almost 24,000 people at one time.
I'm going to ask a really stupid question. I get the monitors. I get the computer. I get the steering wheel. But why in the why would you pay to have like a real seat?
I don't know. I don't do that. So
I mean, when I went to your house, I sat in a chair.
Mine was just I just have a gaming chair.
But like, why would you have that?
Well, some of these guys, it's just comfortable.
Simulation, man.
Simulation.
The simulation.
It's not a real. It's like a sports car seat most of the time.
Seat ain't moving, Freddie. That's simulation.
Hey, buddy.
But people have some serious simulators, man. I don't have
like Josh,
yes. And
what's Josh got in that? 10 grand?
Probably easy. Huh. But he don't have kids
is that five or six figures?
He don't have a wife or kids, so he can do whatever he wants. And that's another thing. Josh goes home and races.
Lucky him.
He races with his buddies until about 2 or 3 in the morning every night. They run probably 15. He told me one time it's either 600 or 700 races a year is what he runs.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So wow. That's a ton. When William doesn't run quite that many, but William's really good on there as well. But the race, I think, never dropped below. We had a couple cautions in the beginning, but it never dropped below like 22,000 people watching it from once we got rolling to the end of it. So,
well, I saw your Twitter finally worked again. You were promoting out of it. You won't promote our show, but you'll promote.
Did I not promote the show?
We got one tweet
this week.
Well, we got one tweet in 3 years.
Seven of them yesterday for the race. Yeah. But one tweet for us.
I sent out about 4 in the last 2 days. But no, it was ended up being a really big success, man. Like,
that's awesome. You going to do it again this week?
I don't know. I'm not doing a race this weekend, but I think there might be.
Wow, what are you doing this weekend?
Well, there might be another race, but it's
saying you're not going to put it together.
I'm not putting a race on this weekend. Maybe the week after. Just all depends. I think.
Too busy?
No, iRacing is going to put together a race. they're working on putting together a race with some drivers, all cup drivers. Steve won't let me in it because he won't let other people in it because he's like, you guys are going to be too fast.
Who's so. Steve?
Steve Myers at iRacing.
Let's tweet his number out. We'll fix that problem.
We'll fix that. I've already begged him. He won't let me do it. But I think what they're planning on doing this week is going to be fun. It should be entertaining as well. So we'll see what they say.
One thing that was unique to iRacing, I was watching this, and like the three, probably three, four best guys were Josh, this dipshit over here, Parker Kligerman and William. And Parker was fast. And he was running like, what was he, second?
He's fast, yeah.
Second. And you're watching, all of a sudden,
looks, God.
Looks like he blows the right front tire.
It goes right in front of me.
It goes, he just, you know, darts right. Yeah. And I'm like, so my brother, he knows more about this stuff than I do. So I'm like, damn, can you blow tires on here? And John's like, I don't know. It looks more like maybe like something happened.
Yeah,
so
it definitely happened.
Like his steering wheel came unplugged or something like that.
Something happened because he in front. It was him, William, and then me. And we're going down turn one, and all of a sudden he just turns right, and his car goes head on into the wall. He comes back down the track, and about four or five of them hit him. But to Freddie's question earlier, I had it. You can set when you create the race. You can do one quick fix, which means if you destroy your car, you drive back to pit road, it'll repair your car completely one time.
Okay.
So from there
Kevin
on
Hamlin,
out.
Kevin Hamlin got to do that?
All them guys did
multiple
it.
Times yes. for Kevin. Kevin, he
but guys got a like, of them. But yeah, the guys that quit and wrecked out had destroyed two cars at that point.
What,
yeah.
What in the hell was Justin Allgaier doing?
No, he made me mad. Did you see the end of the race?
I didn't see the end, but I heard Steven talk about
it. Yeah, so I'm catching Steve and Stefan for third. I save my tires. I ride around there. Three-quarter throttle. I'm like, all right, well, the only chance I'm going to have is if they wear their stuff out. So I get a terrible restart. You know, I felt like Brad a little bit and got a bad restart. And I go from second to – or whatever. Where was I? Second?
You were second.
I was second and ended up getting in line at like seventh. So I'm like, oh, this sucks. So I'm like, just save my stuff. I drive back up through. I'm catching Stefan for third. And Allgaier comes and like, hey, you want the bottom, Stefan? He's like, yeah. So I'm thinking he's going to go the high side, one and two, and lift and let us both by. Oh, no. Guess who had to lift off of two? And you know, when this package is similar to real life. If you have to lift in this package, it's all that. Yeah. So yeah. I had to lift, and I'm like, you son of a gun.
So he was getting lapped?
He's numerous
laps. He was
laps
getting
down.
Lapped for the 35th time. He was out he's there just rolling around. Down. He wrecked Kevin Hamlin. He was out there like – wrecked and wrecked again in front of Kevin. That's how Kevin
Justin
wrecked.
Didn't have a good race, but I mean, I'm just catching Stefan. I'm gonna get to him with like a lap to go, get third, and I'm like, well, and I get super tight and have to lift off a turn two, and it's just like you get in somebody's wake. It's like it just you got to be real. I mean, it's just like real. And I mean, I've never driven a real package like this, but it feels like it is because you have the same characteristics. But good race. Good time. I don't know. Freddie watched the broadcast of it. Apparently, it was put on pretty well. So.
Yeah, they did a really good job. That kid, Jacob Seelman. I've listened to a couple of different things with Chili Bowl and some other stuff with him. He does announcing at Millbridge or used to. He does a really good job. I didn't know the other two guys, but but they all did a really good job.
Yeah, it was fun. You should try iRacing sometime.
I don't have $10,000 to buy a unit.
You don't need $10,000. Just need a computer and a monitor and a steering wheel.
How much is that?
How much do you want to spend on it?
Well, that's what you always. You've been saying that same thing for 10 years.
You tell me. You give me. You just bring me a blank check, and I'll get you a good.
Damn, what do you call it? Majeski's like he's like one of the best ones, and he runs on a damn laptop and a.
So
did he not run yesterday?
So no, I went to Ty, and I'm like, hey, you want to run? This is like I'm filling the list out, and I'm trying to get as many real people that are good. Ty's like, no, I got another race. I got to run. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, about an hour before the race, after everything's all done, and for the broadcast, we had to have they need a list kind of beforehand to do their work, like normal broadcast.
You let Tim Duggar in it, right?
Of course.
That's funny.
Of course.
The Mike Harmon of sim racing.
He's actually, he's a street stock champion.
I saw that little Twitter
stuff. Yeah, he's so pumped up about that. Yeah. But I tried to get Ty in.
Kid in there too, right?
Yeah, Kyle. He's a big sim racer, man.
I was going to give Bubba because like laps. There's a 100-lap race, like lap 75. Bubba's trying to pass a football player.
Are you kidding me?
So listen to this. Bubba comes on there, and we're all in this. Most of us are in a chat room. Yeah, this little voice chat thing, not in the race itself, but outside of the race. And Bubba comes on. He keys up, and it sounds like his head's out the window with his mic, like it's 80-mile-an-hour winds. And he's like, "Can y'all hear that?" And we're all like, holy cow, are you in a jet fighter? What are you doing?
So y'all can talk to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
can everybody else hear y'all talking to each other?
No. If you talk in the game, you can talk in the game too. They're two separate things. But we have a separate deal, a private deal. And Bubba's like, can y'all hear that? And it sounded like Ace Ventura driving with his head out the window. And he's like, yeah, I'm starting to sweat. I got to turn this fan on. So I'm like, damn.
You know, like he's so like I don't know what this kid does, but like they'll play Mario Kart, they'll run 7,000 Mario Kart
Who's
races
Mario?
On the way. It's Mario. and like we'll get off the plane like to make a stop
it'd
in
be
Tulsa.
Sweating.
It'd be covered. Like he just he ran through a car wash.
And then he'll be going he'll be sweating and he's racing the heck out of somebody about wrecks, then down the backstretch all you hear is Because he's eating goldfish. But no, it was fun. Looking to do some more things down the road, and you need to just get a computer so you can sign under a spot.
You won't ever tell me how much money it costs.
Less
than what you got.
When we got canceled, I was looking for job opportunities. I was asking how much spot what that pays.
I give you $20 spot
somebody,
for me next
somebody
time.
Somebody DM me that they would give me $20 a spot
yeah.
a race.
Yeah.
I guess if I do as many as Josh does,
I gave you 21.
All right.
Oh wait, by the way, the winner did get a VIP Hooters card.
Oh cool.
Yeah.
Those don't work.
For Here's a year.
So Josh has a Hooters card?
Josh is getting a VIP Hooters card for food for a year.
$50 a trip or $100 a trip or what?
I don't know what it is.
Wow.
And then we had a guy come forward and he's making a race winning jacket and he's taking all of our cars.
Our friend Brad Little had one of those at one
Didn't
time.
Work?
And
you run it out?
We were in Fontana and our Hooters bill was $400. And his card didn't work. Guess who had to pay the freaking tab? This guy.
I got there late because I must have been doing a race.
The most expensive free meal I've ever had in my life.
This is the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen. There, when I get there, there's more food on the table. There's pounds of crab legs and like stuff you would never eat at Hooters.
Oh,
and
Hooters has great crab legs.
I'm like, what in the hell are you guys doing? I don't matter. It's all free. We got this VIP card. Then the bill comes out. And you're like, yeah, this is no good. And Brett's like, what? we're in trouble.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
All right. Next
it was a good time.
So let's hear some more about our presenting sponsor, OfferPad.
You know what you can still do while you're staying at home and avoiding the coronavirus? Visit OfferPad.com and look into buying or selling your home.
And you know the best part? You can get an offer right from your big-ass couch. It's simple and easy, right, TJ?
Yeah, just log on OfferPad.com, fill out a five-minute form, and within 24 hours, you receive an offer.
Want another perk? OfferPad lets you avoid showings and open houses. That's even better during this time. No need to let any strangers into your home.
When you go online to OfferPad.com to fill out the form, be sure to select the podcast option and the how did you hear about us question.
And if you submit your home to OfferPad, be sure to tweet us screenshots and we'll send you a DBC OfferPad t-shirt.
Get started today. Go visit OfferPad.com.
Steve O'Donnell responds to a former Truck Series owner's tweet with a clown emoji. So DJ Cop tweeted in response to Steve early last week. He said, it's like shooting darts with these guys. How many years have you been working on a package? Can't wait to see all the excuses when the new car comes out. How many times will we hear it's a learning curve or these things take time? And then Steve responded with a clown emoji. Spot on, spot off, Brett.
It's like I stole Steve O'Donnell's Twitter account for a hot minute. Here's a guy with the sanctioning body calling a former owner a clown. I actually know DJ. I know his wife or fiance.
She a cop?
Amanda, she's awesome. I thought it was entertaining. I'm not sure. Hopefully it's not something that I mean, could you imagine him calling Joe Gibbs a clown but Joe Gibbs wouldn't have tweeted that either. Like, I mean, it's just a
– No.
I think Steve probably gets tired of some of the crap he has to hear. And
yeah, I agree.
Maybe he'd had a couple cocktails and called a guy a clown.
Yeah. I mean, DJ's kind of been – he's kind of been critical of this stuff for a while now. And it's probably reached a breaking point, I guess, with Steve. And I don't think, does he still own a truck? Is he still racing?
No, he sold everything.
He sold everything, right? So now you're kind of like we talked about Cole Pern last week. You're kind of throwing shots from the cheap seats now. Like, you got out. So just if you're out, that's it.
Yeah.
You
know, I spotted for his truck at Bristol with JJ Yaley one time a couple years ago, maybe 3 years ago. But
It's probably not the best, look for our, I don't even know what Steve's title is, vice president or something or whatever, but
he
pays six figures in taxes. Not quite three.
Him and you and him.
Me and him, we're the only ones.
Yeah. You spot on or spot off? What'd you say?
I'm going spot off just because I think it looks bad.
I'm kind of agreeing with Brett on it. Probably sat down, probably hears a lot of things. I mean, I've seen some of the tweets that people send out when NASCAR made. You can't please everybody. It's like building that setup. Half the guys are like, oh, this thing's too loose. Oh, this thing, the other half, this thing's too tight. What do you do? So you can't please everybody. And I think DJ really wanted to be a truck owner and probably just never quite got the backing to be really competitive like he wanted to be.
Former tire changer, sponsorship rep for Ingersoll Rand.
Yeah.
Certainly a guy who knows the sport DJ is.
Yeah, but just never had the backing, never had the funds himself to build a competitive truck team. And I think it's a little bit of frustration with that. The cars are always going to evolve.
Yeah.
Every year they evolve, no matter what. I mean, it's always going to evolve. Like, we're never going to take a car and we're going to run that car for 10 years. It's never going to happen. So I think he's just frustrated. I think they're both frustrated, my opinion. So, but spot on for the clown emoji. It's a great emoji to use.
All right, last topic. Clint Boyer says it sucks to have to test the next gen car. Spot on, spot off, Freddie.
Spot on. I mean, spot on for anybody that really says what they're thinking. Clint has a very large lack of filter a lot of times. But, I mean, and to Clint's point, I think he was saying it sucks to test any car, to be honest with you, because testing is boring. You know what I mean? It's the same as any other sport. You don't want to practice. You want to play the game. But, you know, it is what it is. You got to do it. One of Clint's points was, I'm testing a car that I don't even have a contract to drive yet. I might not be racing next year, so why am I testing this car? So, you know, obviously, to his point, it sucks to have to go test, but it's kind of part of the world we live in.
Brett.
Good job, Jason.
No kidding. Way to do your job.
You're like Casey. You're laying down on us.
Oh, wait. Huh? What, guys?
Man,
let me check my makeup.
I'm spot on for anything that makes Clint Boyer have to do the same thing over and over for 8 hours. And it absolutely, like the whole flight home, he's like, what are we going to do for 2 weeks? I can't sit home for 2 weeks. I'll go crazy. So to put him in a situation where for 16 hours, Monday, 8 hours, Tuesday, 8 hours, he was going to have to drive that car and literally do what they wanted him to do. What they'll do is they'll go out and run 10 laps. They'll come in and make a change. They'll go run 10 laps. It is the most monotonous, boring thing you can do as a driver, do as a spotter. I didn't have to go spot it. He was going to have to drive it. I was spot on, but the whole damn thing got canceled.
TJ?
Yeah, I mean, testing, it needs to be done for the new car. I mean, we got to test it, and I think they're doing a good job of getting a wide variety of drivers in there to do it. Almost everybody from each team's, I think they're all got shot.
NASCAR, from what I'm told, NASCAR is kind of picking who they want to drive it. Is that what you're hearing too?
I don't know how they did it.
Because Logano's drove it, right?
Yeah,
and Austin Dillon drove it.
Williams drove it.
Eric Jones. They're going in manufacturer order and then switching teams. So first it was Austin, then it was Joey, Eric Jones, then they went back to Chevy, Byron. Now Ford's Clint. Next will be a Toyota, I'm assuming.
Which, I mean, that's a good idea. At least they're splitting it up and doing that way.
I'm surprised they picked Atlanta to test it, just because Atlanta is so unique. I mean, we run a lot of mile and a halfs that are similar, like the Kansas, Chicago's, et cetera. Like, I'm surprised they picked Atlanta.
I'm not really surprised at it, because I think it gives you – there's a lot of fall off at Atlanta, and you want to see how these things really handle after, you know, 20 laps at Atlanta, you're sliding around.
Hopefully you want tires.
So William, I guess, had a little issue at Fontana, and it cut the test short, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wrecked off of two.
I mean, at the track where it wears out too. So
it's not a little issue if you're wrecking.
Well, I want to see these guys have to drive that car. You know what I mean? And if William, I'm sure William, I mean,
I'm interested, because, like, obviously it was harder to drive because he wrecked the car. You know, obviously.
That's what I like that.
But at the same time, I heard it was quite a bit slower, like almost a second and a half, 2 seconds slower than we were the day before. So it's interesting
to
know
what we want.
Like, oh yeah. I mean, I don't care how fast they're going, as long as they have to drive them. You know what I mean? It's just interesting to me that they could be that much slower
and still have to handle.
And still be that much harder.
That's
to
what
drive.
We need, man. We need a little bit slower, because these engineers and stuff, everybody's gotten so smart. We've made everything so good and so fast. And grippy, that it's just a slot car. So I don't care if we're going 75 mile an hour. You can get loose at 75 mile an hour going down a dirt road, down a highway, can't you?
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter how fast we're going, as long as they got their hands full.
I think he still wants some speed, but as long as they're driving.
I mean, I'm sure he was still doing, you know, even a second and a half slower at Fontana's fast.
Yeah.
You're still flying down the straightaway.
Great news, Door Bumper Clear fans. Xfinity is now on board with us to sponsor our Fast Lane segment. And to match Xfinity's fast internet, we'll be ramping up the pace of this segment. Casey or I will now ask the guys 8 questions every week, and they will have just 10 seconds to respond. No exceptions. And once those 10 seconds are up, I'll keep dinging them until they will stop talking. And I'm assuming Casey's going to be very excited to finally shut y'all up from rambling on and on and on. So big, big thanks to Xfinity for making the great decision to sponsor DBC. And for this week's segment, we decided to take your Ask DBC questions and implement them in the segment.
Better plug your dinger in. Charge it up.
We've got a new smartest sponsor in the sport. Welcome on board, Xfinity. You're on the best podcast, the best racing podcast in the world.
Somebody at Xfinity made a great executive decision.
Yeah, that person
deserves a raise.
That person definitely deserves a raise.
Promotion. Deserves a raise, yeah.
And we also need to talk to him about Casey's work ethic a little bit.
Yeah, and her love for Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
Pictures are included if you need them.
Yeah. TJ's got a good picture of that.
When you watch companies like Xfinity come in here, though, man, it's awesome because everybody needs the services that they provide in the markets where they provide them. They're out of Philadelphia. I've had the opportunity to go up to their headquarters. Great company, great people. They love racing, and I think any time that the three of us see companies that love racing, it gets us excited.
Yeah, and to see them be involved in the sport and even branch out more in the sport doing stuff like this as well. So thanks, Xfinity, and looking forward to it.
Yeah, with our millions and millions of listeners, you'll get your money's worth here.
You got the Xfinity Series, and then you got Xfinity involved in the Cup Series as a presenting sponsor. And now they finally got smart enough to know that they needed to be here in order to make this thing come full circle. So thanks, Xfinity. Looking forward to it.
Big
and looking
thanks.
Forward to selling some Xfinity internet service.
Get ready. This will be the fastest segment on the show now. 10 seconds each.
Charge your dinger up.
Get your responses ready.
There's a lot of questions here, Jason.
I have a feeling this is going to make us want to go in there and punch Jason in the face.
Have we figured out what the penalty is if we run over this 10 seconds?
There will be penalties.
10 setups.
There will be penalties.
Is this a timed event?
If you go over, I'm just going to keep dinging until you stop. So that'll be the play.
Don't stop.
All right.
All right. Question number one from Daniel C3_88. If you guys could have spotted for any driver in the history of NASCAR, who would it be, Brett?
ABCD. Cale Yarborough, Neil Bonnett, Dale Earnhardt. I don't know who D was, but I'm going with Dale Earnhardt. David Pearson, that was my D, but I'm going to pick Dale Earnhardt.
TJ.
Oh, man. I would probably say Benny Parsons. I'd probably go with Dale Earnhardt, and I would go with Darrell Waltrip.
Freddie.
If I'm going all-time modified guy, Richie Evans, being that I'm a modified guy. If I'm picking a cup guy, I'm going Dick Trick.
Question number two from Leah Ann 23. If you were quarantined to one track's infield, which would it be and why? Freddie.
Hard not to say Talladega, but Party of Michigan is just as good.
Michigan, Brett. Michigan, Michigan, Michigan. How many times can I say it? 10 seconds. Michigan.
TJ.
Michigan, Talladega, and any of these tracks except for Indy probably right now.
Question number three from CPOFFFFF. Will we ever see a spotter get into the NASCAR Hall of Fame? TJ.
I don't think so. No.
Freddie.
No, but if we did, it'd be Bob Jeffrey.
Brett.
Freddie's right. Bob's done everything you can do in the sport. He's won everything he can win, all the big races, championships, multiple series. His resume is very, very impressive.
Question number four from Jay Schillenberg 95. Which free agent after this season would benefit most from moving to a new manufacturer? Brett.
Ooh, that's a tough one. Larson.
TJ.
I got to go with Larson as well.
Freddie.
Make it a clean sweep. Kyle Larson.
Question number five.
What happens if all of us agree?
I know. We'll have to get some questions.
Well, these are all just...
I wasn't a big fan of that question because I don't know. A different team, maybe not so much manufacturer.
All right. Question number five from Dan Petronas.
Petronas the second.
Yeah, there you go. Would you rather spot a race where your driver runs away with it and you don't have to make many tough calls or one with close racing and every time you talked, your call could cost you the race? Freddie.
Winner wants the ball in his hands. I want to make the call.
I just want the win. I don't care which way.
It's a heck of a lot easier when you lead the whole thing and don't have to race anybody, but it's not as gratifying as a spotter when you do that. You like to win Talladega, Daytona, these races like that, because then you feel like you were really a part of it.
Question number six from Davidson, 227.95. If you could add any racetrack from around the world to the NASCAR schedule, which track would it be, TJ?
I would add a street course right now. What's the one in California?
Long Beach,
something like that. Maybe Miami, something. I don't know.
Monaco. If I'm going to add one on the river around here, Irwindale for Great Race.
Monaco.
It says around the world. That means we're going to Myrtle Beach.
Yeah.
The dirty Myrtle.
Not enough hotels.
Question number 7 from Submarine Mike 88. If you had to be quarantined with one driver for 14 days that's not a driver you've ever spotted for, who is it, Brett?
Dang. That's a hard one. Danica Patrick.
Boy, I don't know. None of them.
Freddie.
I probably have to go my boy Clint. I'd imagine that'd be a hell of a good
sleep?
Time.
You want to sleep?
No, not necessarily. I don't sleep.
You're quarantined with Clint.
That doesn't matter. He's got a pretty nice barn.
All right. Question number 8, the off-the-wall question from Hostetler Rusty. That's why Casey.
Jeff Hostetler.
Glad she has to do that every week. If you three ran a 40-yard dash, who would win? Freddie.
I think it's obvious I would kick their ass.
Brett.
I ran a 4.5.
You did not run a 4.5
in high school. I ran a 4.5. No, I was the fastest white kid.
You can't run a 5.5 right now.
I was the fastest white kid to go through Central High School. 1993.
Okay. That was how many years ago?
TJ weighs about 100 less pounds than me, so I'm going to guess he might edge me out-ish.
I'll go with myself. Because Freddie's, let's be honest, Freddie's just too damn big.
If it was a 100-yard dash and I got this shit all moving in the same direction, I'd be pretty fast at the end of it.
At the end of it? Just because you can't stop.
I'm on a long run speed.
You better open a goalpost.
All right, that was a good fast question segment. Thanks to Xfinity for coming on
board.
What
about you, Jason? I think you could outrun all of us?
Yes, for sure.
Jason, you can't even walk without hurting yourself.
Are you kidding me?
You can't even sit down without hurting yourself.
I need a jogging start.
I run
if you give me a jogging start,
week.
I can see me blowing both hamstrings out, but I don't know if you'd beat me, Jason. You look a little goofy when you run.
I can run. I run 10 miles every week. I'm trained. I'm ready. Let's
10 go. Miles?
10 miles?
Not at once.
So I don't think you could outrun. I think me and Brett could both possibly beat you in a speed race.
What?
Not you.
What are you trying to say?
No way. I'm talking about Jason.
Why you say you two and not me?
Well, it's obvious. I'm going to use Earl's line. You got a full body mirror in your house?
We'll get you a skateboard.
Yeah. I got a scooter for Christmas, a spin scooter or whatever it is.
All right. Thanks, Xfinity. They'll be back every week for the rest of the year on Fastlane, and we'll have some more fast-paced questions like that.
Man, we got some great news here, Door Bumper Clear fans. There's a new line of Dirty Mo merchandise available now for you to buy and sport the Dirty Mo brand.
That's right. Go to DirtyMoMedia.com, select the Dirty Mo Media gear tab, and when you check out, use code DBC10, DBC10, to get 10% off your order. Get your gear now.
Did you get that tattoo that everybody got, the brand? When that Dirty Mo came out, there was this Dirty Mo posse. There's all this DMP. Like, did you get the tattoo?
I did not. I watched it. I could smell the skin burning, and I'm not doing
How many guys do you think got that brand?
4 or 5.
Yeah. Josh? Maybe. Did Josh Snyder get it?
Yeah, the Josh is the worst one.
Mitch Lash?
Josh is the worst one because they did it once, and they thought they didn't do it good enough, so they heated it back up.
Oh, they branded him twice?
Right over the old one. And you could smell it, and it was the worst thing ever, so I didn't do it.
Oh, I don't blame you.
Not doing it.
Ask DBC. Send in your questions 24/7 on Twitter using the hashtag AskDBC. First question from Misplaced Delaney. What is the first memory you all have of NASCAR? Brett.
Jason, it would have helped if I was listening to your question. No, I'm just kidding. I was listening. First memory I have of NASCAR, I was 4 years old. I ended up in an infield at a racetrack with a blue pickup truck. The Caldwells, Peggy and Clayton Caldwell, took me, and I thought the 21 car driven by David Pearson was the prettiest car out there, so I picked that car. Ended up that David was from South Carolina, so I pulled for him for a long time, and then I transitioned into being an Earnhardt fan. Went to all the races around Pageland, to be honest with you. I mean, we could drive to Atlanta, North Wilkesboro, Charlotte. Bristol, Richmond, Martinsville. Man, we could get to a lot of racetracks from there back in the day. So I was very fortunate. And you know, when I got into college, I kind of stopped being a fan and following it as much as I was. And when I finished my business degree, I was like, man, NASCAR sounds like a fun place to be. You know, companies were coming in. And back then, a full sponsorship in the Cup Series was around $7, $8 million. But they were putting that many more marketing dollars behind their programs. Like when you saw UPS come in and the Dell Drive the Truck campaign, like you're talking $1.50 to a dollar, the sponsorship versus what they're doing to activate it. So being a part of that on the marketing business side was certainly a lot of fun. And man, I mean, you look at it, people say all the time, if you find something you love, it's like you never worked a day in your life. And that was the case for a long time for me.
TJ.
I wasn't really big into NASCAR until my dad took me to Watkins Glen in, I think, 1990. He had raced dirt tracks and won a championship at Lernerville Speedway in the mid-80s, and my grandpa had owned dirt cars, so I was more into the world of outlaws, stuff like that. But when we went to Watkins Glen, I remember standing along the fence there, and I got up real early in the morning, and this is right where everybody's unloading. You know, the generators are out there running back then, and I went there and watched just everybody unload. And
how old were you?
That's probably 10 years old, 11 years old. And, man, it was watching them. You see the cars on TV, but when you see them in person, how bright they are, and then you start seeing them going around the track from that first practice on, and I was hooked on NASCAR stuff.
Yeah, so like I said, my dad was racing when I grew up, so we ran local NASCAR track, Riverhead Raceway. And obviously that's all I did when I was a kid. My dad won the last Islip Speedways, one of the famous quarter mile oval on Long Island. I got closed down. My dad actually won the last race they ever had there. So that's when I probably wasn't even at the track. I think I was only a year or two old. So I just grew up doing that. And like first cup experience, because I was racing all the time with my dad, I never went to a cup race. I think the first cup race I went to was, I was spotting a modified at Loudon. So I was probably, I don't know, 18, 19 years old. Wow. Before I went to a cup race, just because of the fact that you never could go. Like, you know, we're always racing somewhere.
Yeah.
And doing something. So that was my first cup experience. It was pretty cool, though. But I've been around it since the day I was born, pretty much.
We would race Lancaster, South Carolina, Chester, South Carolina, Friday night, Saturday night. And then Saturday night, as soon as the dirt race was over, the Super Dirt Late Model, we'd go with Tommy Mungo, who I thought was the best race car driver to ever live. We would leave there, and that's when we'd pack up and drive all night and go into these infields and you'd wake up Sunday morning to the PA announcer, you know, and the smell. I mean, like TJ said, looking through the fence, watching the guys work, it was like, and back then kids could go in the pits. I remember Neil Bonnet picking me up and taking me into the pits at Darlington as probably a 10-year-old kid. Like that's the thing about racing is people that grow up around it love it their whole life. You never stop loving it, you know?
All right. Next question from Ann 1991 McKinney. What has been your favorite era of NASCAR, TJ?
My favorite era is probably, I mean, it's hard to beat the 70s to the 2000s was a really good time. Even after that, I mean, we had some really, you know, I don't think anyone will give Jimmy as much credit as he'll ever get for being as dominant as he was for so long. I think my favorite era is probably the 70s and 80s, though, because of the cars.
Freddie.
Yeah, same. I think that like them mid-80s Monte Carlos were the baddest looking race cars ever. Obviously, I was probably 4 or 5 years old when they were racing them, but just going back and watching the old films of them and stuff like that, the guys up on the wheel driving the hell out of them. So I just like the way them cars looked.
Brett.
I mean, selfishly, 2001 until 2018. And that's because 2001 is when I entered full-time the competition side spotting. I was still on the business side. Managing Elliot, he was here till 2018. So having made all the friends that I made and having all those friends around, I mean, I saw Dale Jarrett last weekend, Freddie and I did in Phoenix, like having guys like Dale Jarrett, Clint Bowyer, Elliot Sadler, you know, and just that whole group of people, we were all here together. And as those guys have started retiring and doing other things, man, I miss those guys. So selfishly, that's probably my era. I mean, you look at the cars, those fastback cars they ran, the big wings they ran, like, those cars look cool. You watch them move around on the by-spy tires. Like that's a cool look. But, I mean, look, our cars are still beautiful. They're still bright. These guys are still doing death-defying moves, and it's still as great as it was. It's just different.
Next question from SportsBallFan88. If you could travel back in time to attend one sporting event, what event would you choose and why? Freddie?
I don't know. It'd probably be something racing related. Maybe like the Daytona 500s that they ran on the beach course. That'd be pretty cool to go back and watch them run on the beach. You see a lot of pictures and a lot of video of it, and it's a pretty badass setting. So I'd probably pick something like that.
Brett.
Oh, a guy asked a question that actually made us think, and Jason brought this question on the show. Congratulations, Jason. Man, I grew up a huge Cowboys fan. It would have been cool. It would have been cool to be there when Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin and Emmitt Smith were all playing in Super Bowls. Pick a Super Bowl, I don't care. Maybe a Mike Tyson fight. I mean, I respect the crap out of that guy as a boxer and what he did as far as working hard to be a shorter fighter that could knock out guys, you know, almost three times, not three times his size, but they had a lot more reach on him. Huge Gamecock fan. Man, I'm such a huge sports guy. You could literally take me to any of those events and I'd be fine.
TJ.
I would probably go back to maybe an old Bristol race back whenever it was,
asphalt.
That too. Just a short track race at Bristol, Martinsville, maybe a Charlotte race. Just seeing so many campers and stuff around and looked like everything was really relaxed. I think it'd be cool to walk around in that type of setting, just check it out, see what it was like.
I can't believe you didn't pick like the 1990 Super Bowl or any of that era.
The night I cried. I don't want to relive that.
That was a good day for me, but Scott Norwood, my hero.
I don't want to relive that. I thought about it, but I don't want to relive any of them 4 years, even the Cowboys. Cowboys are
screw the Cowboys.
Yeah, they're jokes.
All right, last question from Tim Allen 19. What was the most awkward date you've ever been on, Brett?
I don't think I've ever been on one, honestly. I mean,
you never dated your wife?
That wasn't awkward. An awkward date? Like, have you met me? There's nothing awkward about me. I don't give a so, like, it is what it is. I don't know.
I find it hard to believe the first line that you said to your wife wasn't something fairly awkward.
No.
Well, it probably was awkward. He just didn't care.
Exactly.
I don't know if y'all know me, but I don't give a like, my give a is really low. So, like, I've never had an awkward date.
I don't think. I mean,
I did go out with this chick one time named Tara Tucker.
Oh God,
she lived in Matthews. So we were at the Watermelon Festival in Pageland, and I'm clogging. Right, that's what I did. I was a clogger.
Speaking of awkward,
and I'm standing over here on the side stage, and I'm watching this girl sing, and I'm like, man, she's kind of cute. So she comes off stage, and I'm probably 14 years old. She comes off stage, and she looks like she's about my age. And I'm like, hey, they got helicopter rides back here for $20. You want to go ride a helicopter? She's like, yeah. So we go get on this helicopter. We ride around. So I was like, hey, give me your phone number. And back then, that meant your house phone number. And when you called their house, their dad answered the phone, or yeah, their mom answered the phone.
That's true.
The kids never answered phones. You weren't allowed to answer phones. So I went to pick her up, took her out to dinner, and the whole time I was out there, I just knew I was going to vomit. And it wasn't because I was nervous. I literally was sick. And so that may have been the most awkward thing I've ever had happen, but I wonder what she's doing these days. Man, I hope she's good. She could sing.
You could probably reach out. I'm sure you can track her down. We'll have Jason track her down.
Sure, MySpace could track her down. But anyway, I hope Tara's doing good. MySpace. She was a nice girl.
You don't have her phone number still?
Nah. No.
Tara Tucker. Tara Tucker, if you're out there.
She does have a cool Bronco. I did see that somewhere.
A what?
A Bronco. Like
the truck?
Oh, man. I bet your clogging shoes in that Bronco were quite the sight.
I love them 70s Broncos, 80s Broncos.
I prefer that.
The most famous white Bronco OJ drove.
He tweeted. Did you see that?
John Elway's the second. Yeah, John Elway's the second most famous white Bronco.
Did you see him tweet that picture running from the coronavirus? Like,
did you see that?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Do you have one awkward date or no? Because I got one. My wife will kill me when I tell the story. But
go ahead. I'd rather you die.
So we're just, I don't know, maybe a couple months into seeing each other. And I would have to go to – Megan lived in Connecticut. I lived on Long Island. So she is going to murder me, by the way. But so I would go up to Connecticut. We ran Thompson and Stafford on Thursday and Friday night. So I'd go to Connecticut, and then we'd stay at a hotel in Vernon, Connecticut, which is like kind of in the middle or closer to Stafford. And so me and Megan, she came and hung out, and I had a roommate at the time. So like going back to my hotel room wasn't an option because roommates in there. So we might have been parking the car around the back side of the hotel, just, hanging out. Wink,
Jesus,
wink.
Freddy.
So next thing I know, I am surrounded by the entire Vernon Police Department. We've got spotlights. I thought I robbed a bank at this point. So Megan does some kind of ninja maneuver and ends up fully dressed in the front seat. And I'm in the back seat, still as fat as I am now. Like, this, that's not happening, but I'm not making moves as fast. So
you were naked?
Well, I was, no.
What
I
was that? Your doohickey or doohickey?
Doofunny.
Doofunny.
Your doofunny was hanging out?
No, it wasn't out. I think I got some shorts on by this time. So, listen, this gets worse, believe it or not.
It can't get any f***ing worse.
So, the cop comes up to the window, right? So, now, listen to me. I am in the front, I'm in the back seat, Megan's in the front seat, and the cop's got this flashlight, and he shines it on Megan, shines it back on me, shines it on Megan, back on me. Goes back to Megan and says, "Ma'am, is this guy holding you against your will?"
I know exactly why Megan would not want you to tell that story.
Oh, my God.
So what happened?
It's nothing. They said, "What the hell are you doing?" I said, "Man, I got a roommate." They're like, "We'll use the damn hotel next time." Jeez. I said, "Okay, my bad."
What an idiot.
But I'm telling you, there was 12 cop cars there. I thought, like, I had just killed somebody. But it was probably, it was in my vows at my wedding, so everybody else knows about it already.
Oh, my God.
But it was quite awkward when the guy says, "Ma'am, is this guy holding you against your will?" I'm like, the fuck's that supposed to mean, God? I mean, Jesus.
Megan is a lot cuter than you are.
Quite a bit, actually.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Oh, TJ, top that one.
I know. No, nobody's topping that one. Freddie in the backseat with Doofunny hanging out and flashlights and stuff. Craig and Day-Day, top flight security, pulling you over.
I'm glad you guys have me on here full time, and I will never be back because Megan will kill me.
Megan's not going to be happy about that.
Yeah.
What a crazy girl she is.
Oh,
Megan.
Megan.
Jeez. Megan. Yeah, I mean, I can't top that. My wife hated me the first night I met her, though.
That's not hard to believe.
Yeah, I was.
Did you block her?
Yeah, that's what happened. Said no. I was like, nah, no thanks. She got mad. No, I may have said a few things to her that I shouldn't have the first night. And
what did you say? What was your go-to pickup line?
Yeah, I'm not. I will die. There'll be one person left on the show. Me and Freddie will be gone.
Brett and Casey stare off everybody.
Yeah, it's gonna be bad. Needless to say, she hated me after the first night, so I had to go up to her the next night. And the next day when I saw her, we were all on a vacation, and I saw her, and I was like, ooh, I don't know what. I'm like, I got to go say sorry to her. And it was good from there, obviously. But
good work.
Yeah, no flashlights or
no flashlights,
cars
or cops
anything.
Or anything.
I didn't have a roommate.
All right, Brett, is everyone getting an OfferPad DBC t-shirt?
Yeah, thank you for picking questions, Jason, that didn't suck.
I'm glad people sent some more in. When y'all tweet about it, we get some
way
good
to like
ones
not Amish Josh some questions this week.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah.
And then everyone go retweet the Dirty Mo Show tweet of DBC this week, and we'll pick a random person to give them a shirt as well.
Let's have fun with this part of the show right here. All right. So we are obviously missing at least two races. Let's assume that we miss three races. Just to be in the middle of the whole 8-week thing. Instead of saying eight, instead of saying two, let's just say we missed three. Because after the third one, I think there's an off weekend, or is there four and then
there's
an off weekend each?
Weekend.
So let's make it easy. Let's say we miss four. Let's say we miss half of what the CDC is recommending. TJ, what are you going to do to make up these four races?
Run iRacing.
No, I'm talking about what are you legitimately going to do to make up the race we're missing at Atlanta, the race we will miss at Texas, the race we're missing
Personally, what
Bristol.
Am I going to do?
What should NASCAR do to make up these races?
I would look at the schedule, and I would try to align Atlanta maybe with a close one. Maybe when we run like a Martinsville or something like that where we can get the trucks back, we can go do a one-day show. Maybe go and do a Wednesday night, come home, get home late Wednesday, redo the trucks. They can leave Thursday night, and let's go run Martinsville or something like that. Just coordinate with the close races. If we miss what race are we missing? Bristol?
We will miss Bristol, probably.
Bristol being the same deal. Texas has a fall race as well, so Texas could turn into a doubleheader in the fall. Two races, then playoff races, right?
Yeah.
So two playoff races. I don't know if that's a good idea or not, but
that's risky.
But I mean, you got to make it up. It's still going to count, you know.
Yeah.
These are circumstances that none of us have asked for. We're just kind of put in when we deserve the, you know, give them people the shows they're supposed to have. So. That's what I would do. Look for close races. I'd run Bristol maybe on a Wednesday. They've already done some Wednesday night races there before, so I know they can do it. They've got lights. Atlanta, could maybe run on a Wednesday, run in the evening, run start around dinner time, run into the evening, get home, and then go from there.
Pretty.
Yeah, I think right now Texas is kind of the monkey wrench in the situation where everything else is kind of
close,
local or close enough to where you might be able to pull it off in the same week if you wanted to run, you know, a Sunday and a Wednesday. Obviously, Texas is kind of on its own where you're not going to be able to kind of pull that off logistically. Bob Pockrass had a decent idea about, you know, shifting the All-Star race to like the Thursday before the 600, and that frees up a weekend for maybe run Atlanta. You know, you run Atlanta and Charlotte back to back, where it's not, you know, not a lot of travel there. We have two off weekends in the summer where you might be able to make up a Texas race there where it's kind of one off by itself. But I like the tweet we read last night about the guy talking about doubling up some if we miss extended period of time, miss doubling up some of these races.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a few things here that are kind of weird for us. We've got 2 weeks off in the summer for NBC to go cover the Olympics. Question number one is, do they even have the Olympics with this going on? Question number two is, because we're missing Fox races, can Fox reschedule those races to be run on those two off weekends? If that's the case, I think that makes this a lot easier, right? The other thing is, the All-Star weekend, botch it. The All-Star race is kind of like the Clash. It's insignificant when we're dealing with a crisis like this. Make it that. Make it be insignificant. Put that as a full race weekend. But here's the thing that, man, as a fan, I was struggling with when we were flying down there to Atlanta. We're going to race in front of nobody. We're going to win in front of nobody. Like, the celebration was going to be odd. Sitting on the pole was going to be odd. Like, we're going to have 18 guys at the whole racetrack when something really good Pre-race happens. We're going to have 18 people clapping that they won. Like, man, that was going to feel weird to me. So that was honestly the only reason I didn't want to race, is because how can we do this without our fans? And I know they were going to be watching on TV, but man, they weren't even going to be allowed to camp on property. So that was what was tugging at my heart the most. Obviously, I don't want anybody to get sick and us you know, spread this thing even worse. But man, I hope that they are very strategic. And here's the other thing: when we were flying down there, and they said we're going to do all this in one day with no practice, well, that tells you that we know we can do that. And that's a big gain. So when you look at some of these three-day weekends that we have, and the schedules are the best they've ever been in the time that I've been here, but maybe those three-day weekends aren't three-day weekends anymore when we're doing these makeup races. We have a one-day show on a Wednesday. We have a two-day show Saturday, Sunday, like to be able to make it up and logistically, because it's going to be hard on us. It's going to be hard on the guys at the shop. It's going to be hard on the entire sport. It's going to be hard on TV. You're talking about picking up and moving everything. You know, and like you said, Texas is kind of where you throw in the wrench and go, "Ooh, when are you going to do that one?"
The other ones are probably doable. A lot of work, but doable. But man, I know what you're saying. Like it'd been weird winning, you know, without nobody there and stuff like that. But I also think NASCAR's consolidated the schedules enough already. I think it'd be hard. I think they've done a good job. You know, most teams are leaving out on Fridays a lot. We're supposed to be on Fridays coming up. I think they've done a good job of consolidating the weekend, you know, into a three-day, it could be a two-day show, but,
for sure,
you know, to not put as much pressure on people, they make it a three-day show. Saturdays are fairly easy, but that's what, you're not working these guys to death anymore. They're getting half a day at a racetrack to work out, to go hiking, do something cool. Before, they didn't really have that. So I think they've done a great job with this guy. Everything, NASCAR's made a lot of improvements over the last year and a half or so. They've made a lot of improvements to the sport and everything. So
what you got to keep in mind outside of just what we do is the hospitality piece, the leveraging the sponsorship and bringing people.
You
got to
give them time.
When we got the email that said the sponsors can't come to the racetrack, I wanted to cry. And Clint's like, "Oh no, that's absolutely the right move." And I'm like, "Clint, I don't care if it's the right move. We're letting the people that pay our bills, we won't let them come this weekend, even though they have a hard card." Like, that's how, when it's that serious, like, wow. That was, man, there were a lot of things going on that was emotionally tough for me to stomach. But when you look at companies that have bought these hospitalities and they're spending the money on the catering and spending the money to bring their guests in, like, you know, just like the fans are, they're spending their money to come. Well, companies are doing the same thing for their guests. So it costs people a lot of money when these decisions are made. And I know NASCAR will do what they can to make it logistically easy as possible and economically the best on all of us. But, man, I couldn't imagine being in that war room.
They've done that a lot lately. They've made a lot of smart decisions on stuff. So, I like you said, I wouldn't want to be in there making the decisions for it. But
I wanted to race, but I didn't want to race in front of nobody.
Yeah.
That was scary. I don't know. Maybe I just old-fashioned or something.
Thanks for joining us on this show this week.
When's our next show, Jason?
That's a great question. We'll figure it out.
Chase, before we're done, unfortunately, I did this 2 weeks in a row. I just got a text. A guy named Wade Cole. You guys probably never heard of him. Modified racer. He's the guy. He passed away last night in an accident in his shop. Older guy, 67 years old.
Oh.
He's the guy you've seen him probably 100 times, or at least probably TJ has. He's got the Ram truck. He would drive this thing cross country, just low buck as it gets. He'd be out there. It's like the yellow and black number 33 car. Wasn't very competitive, but he was at every modified race.
He was a racer.
He was at every race we've had since 1985 when they started the modified tour. So it's just a pretty bad day in the modified world. Obviously, you know, that's kind of where my heart always lies.
Been a few accidents, losses like that here recently with David Rogers. And there's a lot of, these guys are heroes to a lot of people.
Yeah.
They don't know it. I mean, you've been to Myrtle Beach a bunch. There used to be a guy that ran at Myrtle Beach that we called him the Chicken Man. You know the Chicken Man?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He had KFC as his sponsor and used to bring KFC to the race every week. And I didn't, he's like a legend there. He's been there forever. But there's a lot of local guys like that, and these are definitely tough times when you lose people like that.
All right. Well, everybody stay safe out there. If you find any chicken, ship it to my house. If you find any toilet paper, ship it to my house. I think I got 18 rolls left.
I don't know what I got left.
But I only have 18 rolls left because I shop at Costco. I've not found toilet paper since the toilet paper crisis started.
I just got Megan wants me to go to the store after the show. Is that even worth my time to go to the store?
No. There ain't nothing in the stores.
There's a maintenance cabinet here.
I'm
not talking about toilet paper. I'm just talking about for anything in general.
I will tell y'all a trick I saw online.
Oh, God.
And it works.
Is this legal by any chance?
Take your paper towels.
That is not.
And cut them in half.
No, that's a terrible idea.
Oh, no. He's right. Yeah,
that's like tree bark.
Uh-uh. No.
No, you're doubling your amount.
Take your paper towels and cut the roll in half. And then instead of you pulling off an entire sheet, you're only pulling off a half a sheet. It lasts half as long. But do not use the knife that I used to do it last night because I had paper all over my kitchen.
Did you seriously do this last night?
Yes, I did it. I'll send a picture out.
I saw people doing that.
I
don't know, but like my toilet, my paper towels are not quite as sensitive as my toilet paper. I don't know if I want to go down that route.
Well, you got, I'd rather, I don't know.
Six
you got
fingers,
a garden
six
hose.
Six fingers in my house.
You got a garden hose, right?
The three seashells from that movie.
Stay safe. Keep your sense of humor. Stay away from the elderly. I haven't been able to go see my mom because of this crap. I feel good, but I don't feel good, but I just don't want to put her at risk.
Yeah, of course.
The elderly people scare me.
It's the whole reason we're all doing this.
Hopefully we have another show next week, and thanks to Mike Davis for opening the studio up for us. JRM is closed. A lot of race shops are completely shut down for the next 10 days that we know of as of now to try to help, quarantine everybody and keep everybody safe. So thanks, you guys, for listening. Appreciate you. We don't know when we'll be back, but hopefully soon.
Thanks. Holla. Stay safe.
Check out Dirty Mo Media on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Dirty Mo.